Thank you for coming, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to address some of the backlash I've received for comments I made about the confectionery item mini eggs. I stated my position of loathing, and the backlash from the press, FotFox, colleagues, has been overwhelming. Technically, I may have been slightly wrong about mini eggs being overpriced, but in my opinion, anything more than free is too expensive for a bag of what I like to call chocolate problems. I have, however, spoken to several parties who agree with me that the hard candy shell gets stuck in the teeth slash gums, make it an unpleasant experience. I won't name who those parties are that stand behind me, because I would hate for them to go through the same ordeal I have been through. But let me say, I will never back down. And to anyone questioning their friendship with me, if I ever get given a bag of mini eggs for some reason, I'll give them away to you. Do you know what I mean? So it's not that bad for me to not like mini eggs. So think about that before you come at me screaming about how you thought you knew me. Anyway, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, what do you do when a gigantic sperm whale washes up on your shores, on your beach? How are you getting rid of it? Well, there have been several cases of exploding whale carcasses due to a buildup of gas in the decomposition process. They bloat, the gas builds, and eventually, you know, you overblow up a balloon, Ryan, what's going to happen?
Pop, I suppose.
Yes. Actually, explosives has also been used to assist in disposing of whale carcasses, ordinarily after towing the carcass out to sea. Now, that, you know, that makes sense. A widely reported case, and you guys may have even heard about it yourselves, of an exploding whale occurred in Florence, Oregon, in November 1970, when the Oregon Highway Division, now the Oregon Department of Transportation, I think that's a very crucial point, blew up a decaying sperm whale with dynamite in an attempt to dispose of its rotting carcass. The explosion threw whale flesh around 800 feet away. Now, this was this became quite big news at the time, and later on the footage resurfaced once it was put on YouTube, and it was also parodied in the movie Reno 911 Miami.
Right.
Now, here I tracked down what they'd call a news report about this particular.
I've heard it,
I wanted to say in the hot summer of 1970, but it wasn't. It was November, which I feel was kind of lucky for them, because on top of everything that was happening, if it was baking hot, it already smelt bad. I mean, there's a decomposing whale there.
Imagine being stressed and flustered about this whale as well when you're red hot,
you know what I
on
mean?
Top of everything else, yeah.
Yeah, you don't
so
need
So they
that.
Blew the whale out to sea. I'm sure that's going to go pretty well. Let's take a listen.
Hey, look at that. All right, Fred, you can take your hands out of your ear.
Chunks.
Our cameras stopped rolling immediately after the blast. The humor of the entire situation suddenly gave way to a run for survival as huge chunks of whale blubber fell everywhere. Pieces of meat passed high over our heads while others were falling at our feet. The dunes were rapidly evacuated as spectators escaped both the falling debris and the overwhelming smell. A parked car over a quarter of a mile from the blast site was the target of one large chunk. The passenger compartment literally smashed. Fortunately, no human was hit as badly as the car. However, everyone on the scene was covered with small particles of dead whale. As for the success of the effort, well, the seagulls who were supposed to clean things up were nowhere in sight, either scared away by the explosion or kept away by the smell. That didn't really matter. The remaining chunks were of such a size that no respectable seagull would attempt to tackle anyway. As darkness began to set in, the highway crews were back on the beach burying the remains, including a large piece of the carcass which never left the blast site. It might be concluded that should a whale ever wash ashore in Lane County again, those in charge will not only remember what to do, they'll certainly remember what not to do.
Some great stuff in that.
So an absolute disaster. It said there, so they were really relying on the seagulls there.
Yeah,
but they said they don't know whether it was the sound of the explosion that put them off or the stench.
I like how you said no respectable seagull would be caught dead eating a bit of this whale.
Imagine the smell being so bad that even seagulls go, nah, fuck that.
Not interested, mate. The seagulls were nowhere to be seen.
A quarter of a mile away, a car was smashed to bits.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Imagine being in that car. Yeah, imagine you just how did they die? Oh, a giant piece of dead whale fell on them.
I think the car was parked, as I remember, but yeah, I don't know.
You're making out
it's like
with
a driving
chick,
movie, you know. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
you know, you can go through a drive through McDonald's and sit in the car and eat it. I enjoy doing that. It's
just
there,
you hear that
do.
Sort of.
Before I move on, I just want to give you guys a quick 30 seconds. I've got a timer for this lined up as well. Headlines the next morning in Oregon. Here we go.
The music's putting me off, if anything. Really, really stressful.
It's the next day in November. I've just bought the newspaper and the headline reads, Ryan.
A whale of a problem.
Oh, yes, yes.
Future Ryan here. A whale of a problem. What did I mean by that? I'm pretty sure when I thought of that, I thought it was a pun on something. But listening to it right now, I can't think what it was a pun of. Was it like a hell of a problem? Was I trying to make a pun of? One whale of a problem, one whale of a problem, one hell of a problem. Or maybe I'm missing something now that past Ryan understood, but I think it's just a shit answer. And I think the pressure got to me. And when I said it, I believed I was saying some kind of play on words or some kind of pun, but I just can't work out what I was thinking now, in hindsight. So, yeah. Sorry about that.
And John, I'm picking up the Oregon Gazette and it says,
whale disposal attempt, absolute blubbish.
Brilliant.
Future Ryan here. See, that's more like it.
But my serious question to you guys is, you know, if you're the mayor of a town, a sperm whale washes up on your beach, how are you going to get rid of it? Would that be your first thought to blow it? Because it said usually, like, they'll pull them out to sea and then blow them up.
Right, okay.
Which seems more reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with this one, I mean, there's video footage,
it's
you may
beached,
have seen it, right?
It was beached, wasn't it? It was beached.
It was beached, but it was properly just on the beach.
Yeah.
There was no dragging it away or trying to push it away. They just jammed dynamite in the back, hoping that the blast would just fire it back into sea.
They were trying to propel it, at least, towards the sea.
That was the goal.
That didn't work. But
earlier on in that news report that they'd forgotten what to do when this happened.
What do you mean?
Like, they'd forgotten what to do. And I think, I mean, I don't know. How would you tackle it? Because I suppose the one of the main things, I imagine the smell would be quite incredible. And it's kind of one of them things where it's like, you're not going to get the public back on the beach with that kind of smell. You're losing. It's a bit like Jaws.
Yeah.
You know, that decision to close the beach or not because the summer's coming and they're going to lose a lot of business. So it needs to be quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But attempt to cut it up. Sorry.
May I ask, Matthew, was it a sperm whale?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Now, they've got a lot of oil in them, in the head area. They're very oily things. And cutting up one of those would be very difficult. I think you'd get a lot of oil all over you and that. If you ever read The Heart of the Sea, they talk about that, like cutting up whales, and it just really difficult to actually clean anything that's been, like cleaning the ships that they've been cutting up sperm whales.
So oily.
So yeah, the beach itself would become kind of disgusting afterwards, I suppose.
Yeah,
as well.
With the rotten.
What I was going to say there, John, was, but don't forget, you're the mayor of the town, so you wouldn't be the one doing the cutting. You'd be sending your men out to do that, you know. But if you're a nice mayor, you might not want to put them through that. In fairness,
that's true.
I think what I'd like to... Now, I have actually watched some footage of another whale that's dead and bloated. And, of course, the problem is that the blubber, the thick blubber, keeps all the pressure inside, like a thick balloon. And I've watched footage of someone, I guess an expert, in like what looked like the equivalent, the maritime equivalent of a bomb disposal suit, like very thick...
okay, right.
Like waterproofs. And he runs up to this... whale, he doesn't run up to it, walks up to a whale with a big, I guess a long knifey sort of thing, and cuts into it really far, really along it, a long way, and then runs back because the whole, the intestines and everything burst out and it releases the pressure so it doesn't it doesn't fully burst. It's absolutely grim. But I think I'd probably try to, if I was nearby a docks or something or somewhere with bigger ships, probably get some tug boats to try, and then try to attach ropes to the whale. Not sure how I'd do that. Maybe
just to interject, John.
Pierce through with a drill all the way through, sort of pierce the whale, put a rope through, and then just haul it out.
Yeah. And the thing is, time is an issue with a bloating whale. And an example of a spontaneously bursting whale carcass occurred in Taiwan in 2004. When the buildup of gas inside a decomposing sperm whale caused it to burst in a crowded urban area while it was being transported for a post-mortem examination. So that must have been chaos.
Could that ever possibly be worse than blowing it with dynamite while spectators look on? You know, surely
it's natural. Well, I suppose
there's
less chance of someone getting hit. In that particular instance, this one was a built-up urban area, I suppose you're absolutely...
Right, okay. Oh, so they were just dragging a whale through a city.
It was on a
it's
on a big
a float,
flatbed truck, like you know, on a massive 18-wheeler trolley, like back things that they can put stuff on, like you might
like
see,
King Kong coming into the
city, exactly, that sort of thing. It's on that. Have you seen the pictures? It's disgusting. It's like people are knee deep in whale guts because it's on like a inner city street. Like imagine a New York street.
Oh, is this the Taiwan one?
That's the Taiwan one.
Yeah. Oh.
So they literally were pulling it through the city. That's madness. Why?
Yeah, on the back of this big truck.
Where had it washed up? That far inland? Had it washed?
No, they were taking it somewhere, as Matt said, for a post-mortem.
Oh, sorry. Right, okay. What? Okay. Yeah. Can't you do the post-mortem on the beach?
It choked to death on a bicycle wheel. Job done.
So, okay.
How would you get rid of it, Ryan? Because I'm thinking, if you buried it, do you think that would stem the smell?
I don't think
I was thinking smell-wise, just a lot of air fresheners, a lot of Glade
style. Right, little car, them little tree hanging ones. You could
probably
just...
like probably we're talking Glade plugins, you know.
Right,
not just the ones that you hang in the car. You can cover it with a scattering of the car air fresheners that you get in taxis. Yeah. And then maybe like you have to run an extension cord because you want to do a lot of...
or a generator.
Surround it with the four-way adapters, then plug in many Glade plugins.
Mm.
But that's a temporary fix, isn't it?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
All those plugs, what about the tide when that comes in? That's a safety nightmare.
Well, if the tide comes that far in, fantastic. It can wash the whale back out with it, presumably. That's not going to happen.
True.
If it's beached in such a way. If it is that far in, then I would get lots of butter, lots of baby oil, lots of Vaseline, any kind of lubricant that the city can offer me. I'd say, listen, people of the city, it's like, you know, you donate food to, say, food banks Harvest Festival. We just had that. I don't know what that is. And, but, you know, you send aid where it's needed. Where you say, people of the city,
we need
anything slippery. We need your slippery goods. Send your slippery goods our way. If you can spare them to get rid of this whale and then cover that whale in slippery goods.
Mr. Tony, who owns the butter factory on 24th?
I got shipments to fill. I ain't giving away none of my butter.
but it's for the good of the city. And in the end, he comes through, you know, in the end.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, heart of gold.
It feels like, you know, all the townspeople have come together with their little bits of butter and little bits of Vaseline, etc. And all
enough.
The townspeople are trying to trying to push the whale down the beach, back into the sea. And yeah, like you say, it's not enough. And at that moment, when you think all hope is gone, that's when the guy who runs the butter factory, who's previously said he's never going to give his butter away for free, he turns up with vans and vans and vans of butter, and he saves the day. And you get shivers. You get shivers when that happens.
Yeah.
Is it that you get shivers when you'd more get shivers when all the townspeople come together, wouldn't you? That's actually the case. That's the beautiful
thing. That's true.
That it's like in Dunkirk when you see all the boats coming and you start crying when you watch that, you know, it's so emotional. Mm. All the boats coming to help the soldiers. I think that's the point where you'd get shivers in the film, where you realize you think no one's turned up to help lubricate this whale.
This film that's been created,
and then everyone turns up, and there's a big, you know, the emotional music comes on, and you see this slow motion montage of all the townspeople lubing up the whale,
and then the scientists are the scientist says it's not enough, it's just not enough, says, but it's the fact that we tried, we tried a goddamn, and then you hear that
Mr. Tony Arno.
Absolutely.
Hey, where do you want this butter?
He's come through.
I got 20 tons of butter.
He was a nice guy after all. And then what, though? And then it just slips back into the ocean and sinks?
And then the headlines would be, spread the news. The whale.
So I think it's just that, isn't it? It's try and get people. I would try and bring the city together if I was the mayor and get them all to help.
That's a much better idea than my one.
It's kind of like this film kind of appeared, you know, and I suppose in your mind, that's how it is working it out. Well, to a man who would save the town by lubing up a giant whale that's washed up on shore and greasing it all the way back to the sea. It's good old fashioned Ryan Howes, brother.
Hello.
Do you know what, Ryan? It's almost like you've pre-planned for that answer.
Oh.
You know, so detailed. That's not an accusation, by the way.
Be no, I was going to say, I really haven't.
And to a man who, you know, it would be classed as maybe more of a sensible option, I'm not sure. Tugging the whale back in. If the tide comes in close enough, a few tugboats, drag it out, maybe blow it up once it's in the sea, but certainly don't leave it on the shore to rot. And let's not forget, John's way of doing that would be piercing the whale in two different places, almost like stitching and then trying to get a rope through one bit and out the other and loop or try and get a huge noose around its neck. Who knows? But a wonderful thought there by Sir John Patrick, who joins us today in the studio. How are you doing, John?
Well, I'm very well, thank you. I've just had a small studio invasion from
absolutely.
The
child
here.
This is like watching the BBC News.
Oh, yeah. Can you see it?
There's
a little baby toddling around the background. Oh, would you call her a toddler now, John, in fact?
Toddler now.
There you go.
Is that because they're toddling around?
I suppose it is, yeah.
That's not very good for the mic, that little rattle there, love.
Well,
can you say something?
Oh, look at her.
This is
cute. It's perfect timing.
Cute.
Niamh is here, and John's dear, dear wife, Joey, to introduce you, the listeners, to today's show. Yep, there you go, you see. That was translated to thank you for downloading this podcast.
Yes, and hello to you, of course, MattSkillington.com, the brand who has kept his cards very close to his chest on how he would get rid of a whale if it washed up in a big city and he was the mayor. He doesn't want to tell us, and that's up to him.
Well, it's a good point, and I'll stick to something I briefly touched on earlier. I would bury it deep, deep, deep and forget about it.
Oh, of course.
Good, yeah.
I actually think that'd be a terrible idea because then that really would be a ticking time bomb because I'd bury it. Unless I got it like really deep, which would be a lot of work. I might need the hand of Mr. Tony Arno for some reason with his butter.
From the butter factory.
Maybe he knows someone with lots of spades as well. Because it would still blow underneath, wouldn't it? And people would be laying on the beach sunbathing, reading the headlines, thinking, oh, you know, thank God that whale was spread away.
God.
And then the beach starts rumbling.
It's been buried
So then,
yeah, the beach starts rumbling there. Boom! And a huge sinkhole.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Never be mayor again.
And I was just going to say, you know, people are thinking, oh, this lovely sort of dune on the beach is growing and growing, and then, boom, and it just drops, and suddenly they're in quicksand of whale guts.
Oh God!
Oh my God! The smell. The smell would be tremendous. So yeah, a big news report there. That's what I've been watching this week. Have you lads been watching anything?
I've actually caught a movie this week.
Have you?
Managed to catch it. Yeah, it was a great film. I think it's a Disney one, live action like, but it is a Disney movie. Yeah, what I did was, obviously, I thought, this is bloody good, this. So I put in my VHS tape.
Oh, thank God. God.
Unfortunately, it was right at the end, so I only managed to catch a fraction of it. But put that. Do you want me to put it into?
I'd love to hear it regardless, yeah.
Yeah, what you've been watching. Well, yeah, here we go.
Those look like a fine bunch of men you got there, boy. They're tearing up that ice rink. And all the while holding those Starbucks cups and wearing those white feathers and pissing. Say, what do you call them?
Those? I call them my coffee swans.
And now those fellas you got over on the other side of the rink, they look pretty bad to me, all covered in brown feathers, shiny green ones up the back of their heads, and holding cups of... What's that, a PG tips? Now, what do you call them, boys?
Well, those guys, they're my favourites. I call them...
Oh. Unfortunately, that's where the tape cut off.
Oh, I want to know what they're called.
Well, their name is actually the title of the movie, and it was Mighty Ducks.
Oh, whammy.
That does sound good, John.
That does sound good, John. Did you have a good time?
I did have a good time. Oh. Hold on a second, lads.
There's chaos here. The toddler's toddling back.
Bless her.
Other shoe in the not in
the palace. Oh dear, can't find any shoes for our kid, our Neve.
Oh, you've not got any shoes for you? You've had them here.
Well, we have got shoes for her, but
no need to go outside.
I suppose, I suppose she's growing as well, isn't she? So
going to
Westermoney.
Well, we got to park in that, innit?
Now she's toddling as well. I suppose she needs shoes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I could talk about bloody toddlers on a bloody day, but we must get on with the show, and we must, if there's any luck in this world, reveal that wheel.
Yes, I will reveal the wheel. But first, I'd like to just say, I've actually been decorating my flat this week.
You can tell.
Which
right.
means...
You can tell.
I've not decorated the studio, unfortunately. I've been... So you oh. I mean, you, as in you can just tell how like tired I am.
No, I can just tell by...
Yeah. The vibe. Ironing board that's up there.
Yeah. No, point being, I've been sleeping in the studio.
That's what I mean. I can see the small the camp bed you've got down there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's left him.
it has been like camping out in here, to be honest. So I've got very comfortable in here in a way. But my own room, I've been decorating it all on my own. And I kind of had this feeling of like identifying with, you know, like sort of like a middle-aged divorcee woman who's decided to redecorate her house, and she don't need no man to do this for her. She don't need man to come and like to hire a man in to decorate. She's doing it herself. She can do it herself.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I feel like I don't.
Right, fair enough. Just you and the kids.
No kids. On her own.
No.
Yeah. And
even better, yeah.
It's new year, new me, isn't it? It's a fresh coat of paint on everything. Nothing to remind
exactly.
you of.
But it's quite a lot of effort. But I thought, I'd do this myself. I don't need to hire someone in, some workman. Anyway, I don't know what I mean by this, but like I identify more with the middle-aged woman there than some workman doing the decorating.
Oh, good.
That
makes sense. Felt less like a painter and decorator.
Yeah.
More like a middle-aged woman.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Fair enough.
Like a middle-aged, like a divorcee who's becoming independent, you know.
You'd built the whole backstory, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Have you put any inspirational quotes up about gin up on the wall?
Of course, yeah.
Is that what you mean?
You've got your Prince of Marilyn throws. Monroe. What about, I like to cook with wine. Sometimes I put it in the meal.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, all that, I've put, yeah, all them. They're all, I've put all them up, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Did you, while you were redecorating, because you were camping out in the studio and stuff like that, and was the wheel still safe being around you while this was all going on?
It was, yeah. And as you can see, I've given the wheel a lick of paint. Let me just reveal it for you. There we go.
Oh, wow. Bloody hell. It's bloody luminous.
Yeah, that is bright. That's very bright.
That's just, it's called pure brilliant white gloss.
Wow. Wow.
And I had some left over, so I thought I'd just, I got kind of addicted to painting things, to be honest. I've just painted everything.
Nice. White. Fumes, isn't
yeah.
it?
And also obviously attached some of the signs to the wheel too.
Mm, yeah, I see that one there. Just, yeah. I'm on the gin diet so far. I've lost 3 days.
Oh, brilliant. That's funny. That's great. Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That is good. Eyes in the holder of the... No, hold on. Well, I can't. Let me put my glasses on.
Beauty's in the eye of the beer holder. Beauty is in the
eye of the beer holder. Yes, I can see it now. I've got my glasses on and John's here to steady my head.
And I can see there, Ryan, that you've also... You've put a few of the paintbrushes just around the outside there to give it that lovely sort of the feel of the week.
That was my kind of artistic touch, yes.
It's lovely.
So I think I've put the handle just here near...
So you can see, car wash.
There's one here that says, if your dreams don't scare you, they are too small.
Oh, yeah, that's
yes, that is lovely, right?
That's a lovely replacement for a personality, that sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. A winner is a dreamer who never gives up. That's Nelson Mandela,
yeah.
So.
That's
couldn't have put it better myself. You've actually painted all over all of the feature titles.
Mm.
Hopefully the speaker still works.
Hopefully, yeah, because we might end up landing on, you know, don't let anyone dull your sparkle, for example.
Yeah.
But underneath that is actually, for example, how long do they live for, you know? So each feature has got its own corresponding inspirational quote, basically.
Yes. I like this one here. There's 7 billion people in this world. Why let one ruin your day?
Exactly.
I think that means a lot, actually, because there are lots of people. So why... Let one person bring you down.
And when you think about it, it's mad. Yeah.
I see you've got there, all you need is determination and a little bit of sparkle. That's lovely, that one is.
Yeah, that's one of my favourites.
I need these today, lads. I need these today, actually. It's been a long weekend. And Ryan, you're going to need a hell of a lot of terps or white spirit or whatever you call it to remove that job.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll just keep it. Actually, now I think at some point we're going to have to settle on a wheel, and maybe this inspirational wheel is the one that we settle on. I don't know. Anyway,
well, as always, please put me out of my misery and show me that the wheel still spins, Ryan. Please.
Velcro laces, but it actually says on the wheel, you can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one. Which I think is a really good point.
That's good.
Really worth
that's good. That is
bearing
good.
In mind.
That is good. That
as long as you don't dissect any of these or try to read into.
Well, no, I just think it's just that John had a kid in his last chapter, and if he doesn't, if he just changes that chapter now and just ignores the kid.
What? But I'd be reading the last chapter. Does that mean I shouldn't think about anything that's happened in the past? I should just constantly look forward, never learning from the past. Is that what that's?
Well, it's just inspirational, isn't it? I don't think.
Oh, okay.
It's just.
Yeah. You, like you said, John, you can't look too.
It's just nice.
Can't look into it. It's just nice. Enjoy it for what it
is. It's more just saying, the past is the past.
Yeah.
Mm.
We build on that.
Eggs or eggs?
But yeah. It's just nice, John. It's just nice. All right.
Yeah, John, it's just nice, mate. I don't know. Just getting your bitter little fangs in.
Bitter fangs.
Okay, so strawberry or laces?
What's that? Strawberry or laces?
Oh, Velcro laces, is it? Oh, that's right.
Strawberry laces were the sweetie that I used to jog to the Big W with friend of the family, friend of the show, Fox James Mansfield, and then... Right. buy a bag of strawberry laces and walk back. And we used to do a thing where, I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before, it is incredibly disgusting. You know, the strawberry lace is quite a long sweetie.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't, did you do this? What were you going to say, Jim?
You're going to say you put it up your nose?
No. Do you used to do that?
No, no. But I've seen people do this weird thing where they can sort of sniff it up their nose and put it out their mouth.
Yeah, it's along those lines, though, in terms of the disgustingness. Because you keep hold of the end
trigger
of it,
warning, everybody.
And trigger warning. And then basically eat the lace down so it goes into your, stomach system. And then just
throat.
Pull it back out again.
That is disgusting.
And just see what happened to it, you know. Weird. It's a weird sensation pulling it back up again.
I can imagine.
Not done it in years, but...
It's weirdly satisfying, though, isn't it, pulling it out? It's kind of like pulling an ear hair out now.
Yeah, yeah. So you've done that too, Matt.
Yeah. I would have done it with friend of the podcast, James Mansfield, yeah. Swallow it so that muscles in your throat bring it down. I mean, it never gets into the stomach. They're not long enough. And that would be ridiculous because it'd have to be very long.
Because I always thought, I'm going to see it starting to, like, the acids have started to get to it.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I was hoping for.
You could do, like you'd see in the movies, people trying to get out of a window or something, tying duvet sheets and rags together to make
rope. True.
Because I used to do that anyway with the strawberry laces, tie them together to make long ones.
Right.
And then you could get out, get it all the way down.
Yeah.
So far that it actually came out your bum all eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could essentially, what I used to call a strawberry floss.
Can you imagine?
And that dance was there before these kids were bloody flossing to bloody Fortnite.
Now, obviously the food, and this is so horrible. I'm so sorry to any listeners, but I am intrigued. Now, obviously that wouldn't work with strawberry laces because it would become turn into, what's the word?
It digests
is the word, yeah, digest. But some things don't digest it. You can still swallow and they go all the way through, e.g. string. Now, could you, or just kill
fishing,
you?
Fishing wire.
Fishing wire. Could you do this with something like string, take it down and it would do exactly what you've described and come out the other side and you just have to wait with it hanging out your mouth?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you? I mean, I don't want to be the man to try it, but if you've ever tried that, if you have any
text in, tweet in. Please do get in touch. We ask the questions that people are too afraid to ask.
We are not recommending you do that.
No, we are saying,
in fact, don't try that at home. But if you happen to have already tried that at home, do let us know how that turned out.
Yes.
And please do. I would say probably, can you do it? Can't you do it? The answer is elementary, my dear Ryan. The alimentary canal is the is from the stomach to the all the way through the body.
I say.
That's the new posh bell that we've had installed on the
system. Yes, friend of the family, friend of the show.
Listened at school bell, what about that?
At Antonio Ryan has very kindly sent in a posh bell.
Yeah.
I was going to say strawberry laces again then. Christ. Velcro or laces? John, you're going to take this, I'm sure, I think.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah. You've put a wonderful jingle together for this. Actually, one of my favourites, so I'm really glad this has come up on the wheel.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Please play the jingle, then we'll explain if the jingle doesn't.
Velcro is sticky, but laces can tie things. Which one is better, as e.g. a tie-pin? Laces would be best for darning a sock. Velcro could be used to fight off a wasp. When the car breaks, when the bull wakes, when I've got no hat. I ask Matt and Ryan to tell me the answer to which one is best for that.
And what's a great point is you could get shoelaces, tie them together, Ryan, and with your experiment that you're desperate to try, tie shoelaces together, maybe put something on the end like a cream egg maybe or something that you could swallow. I mean, I wouldn't do that, but...
Swallow the cream egg whole, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To anchor it, to pull it down.
I know what you mean, though. God. Yeah.
Oh, God, the agony. Imagine swallowing an egg like you're like a snake.
The problem is, sorry.
No, I'd like
to
hear.
What's the problem, Matt? Go on.
Well, I'm just thinking, so if you swallowed a bunch of shoelaces, say, that were all tied together, you swallowed the main bit, so you swallowed it down, so that would... the ball of shoelaces would be pulled down then into the stomach. Mm. Obviously, you've got the other end coming out your mouth.
Yeah.
Because you want to go all the way through, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
But would it naturally drag the shoelaces through the rest of your digestive system, or would it need... Because it's not going to turn into plop, is it? It's not going to turn into another solid.
No.
So do you need something like, does it need to be covered in sweet corn, for example, or something that doesn't digest?
I don't think so, because don't people just swallow like...
Like a marble.
Like, do people swallow drugs? Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's just the same kind of idea, really, isn't it? Is that, in a way?
Yeah.
So maybe you attach a shoelace to a bag of cocaine.
Right, yeah. That's not a bad idea, actually.
And then you can pull just pull it back out of your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Going through customs. Why have you got a shoelace hanging out your mouth? So?
We've got another one.
Oh, I'm just doing an experiment. trying to work out if I can floss my body.
Have you heard this terrible features? Have you heard this podcast?
In that instance, what you should do is use a strawberry lace. Mm. So if they go, why have you got a strawberry lace hanging out your mouth? If you go, oh, sorry, I forgot to eat it. And then you've destroyed that evidence, haven't you? And then you're like, well, it's just eating a strawberry lace. Why can't I do that going for a custom?
That's a ticking time bomb, though, isn't it? Strawberry lace, because that can be
digested. Oh, it's going to dissolve, yeah.
That's the only problem. Mm. Like some out of crystal maze. Sorry, what, John, anyway.
Velcro lace.
What I would do is get a bag of string and some kind of membrane that would slowly dissolve. For example, something that, you know, like a pill is made out of, an antibiotic is in the little capsule.
Yeah.
Something like that. So like gelatin dissolve. I remember an episode of Animal Hospital where a cat had eaten the insides of a cassette tape. And it had the tape all through its intestines. That was pretty sad. But the cat was fine. The cat's fine. But Rolf Harris is a nonce. moving on.
So, are you sure it wasn't tapeworms? Hello.
Hello. Knock, knock. Who's
right? Tapeworms, right?
What? Tapeworms. Are
you sure it wasn't tapeworms?
What, the cat swallowed?
Well, it's because tapeworms exist, don't they?
Yeah.
I was talking about cassette.
As a real thing, but he's talking about cassette tape.
Yeah.
So I said something about tapeworms.
I think I kind of get it.
Right. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Hi, guys. Future Matt here. I'm just a little bit disappointed in past Ryan's reaction to my tapeworm joke. It wasn't my best, I'll give you that. But I felt like it deserved more. And considering the courtesy giggle that I gave his whale headline, that made zero sense, I really feel like he could have, dug a little deeper and given me a little more. Wasn't my best, yeah, like, you know, sure, but whatever. Anyway, I'm not bothered. Back to the show.
John, Velcro laces, God, yes.
Velcro laces, basically. I've got a scenario, and I need to know which would help me out more. Would it be Velcro or would it be laces? Now, you two are going to... You're going to be assigned you're going to be assigned either Velcro or laces. This week, Ryan, you will be arguing on behalf of laces. Mm. Matthew, this week you'll be arguing on behalf of Velcro.
I hope the scenario is, can you floss your body? Like, what would you floss your body with?
Yeah.
It's not that, Ryan. Okay. I'm not going to lie.
So I'm laces, great.
So I think I'm going to let Matt go first this week. There's no brain buster anymore. We've not done a brain buster for a while. I think it's better if we're all just involved in this. So Matt, you're going to be arguing why Velcro, and you get 60 seconds, remember? Was it 60? It was, wasn't it?
Do I have to not listen, John?
No, it's fine. It's okay. Fine. You can listen. I think that's fine. All right. Matthew,
so I'm doing
I'd like
Velcro,
you to
yeah. Okay.
Tell me why Velcro would be so useful when making a journey on the London Underground.
Velcro, incredibly useful on the London Underground. First off, security. London Underground, often people forget things once they've got up from the seat and left the seat. With Velcro, there's no need to forget things again. You can have a Velcro patch on your phone, you can have that Velcro hood to your jacket, you know, you can Velcro your books. You can Velcro your iPad, the thing that you read from, I can't remember, a book. But the electronic version of that is what I was trying to, the Kindle. You could have two, but that's just one thing. Another thing is if you've got a child with you, you can get very busy on the underground. You might be afraid of losing that child. Get the Velcro suit for the kid, which matches to your Velcro suit, and you can stick your kids to yourself, and you know exactly where they are at all times. I think the London Underground could take some, you know, common sense and just start putting Velcro where the adverts are, to stick new adverts on and off. You know, just to save on that constant taking them out.
That's time. Okay, some good points there. That's tricky, isn't it? Ryan, we're going to go straight into it. And Ryan, tell me why it'd be better to use laces.
Oh, same scenario.
Yeah.
Time's ticking.
Oh, I'll start again.
Well, I think you could use shoelaces on the London Underground very successfully to plan a journey, for example. So you want to get from, I don't know, Mudchute to, say, Kilburn, and you go, well, that's different lines. That's the DLR, that's the Central Line, then that's the Jubilee Line, you know, and you can stand by the map and you can put your shoelace over the map and figure out exactly the route that you need to take using the shoelace. Also, shoelaces can be used to, sometimes it gets a bit, if you're standing on the tube, you might feel like you're going to fall over because you've got, your hands are full of carrier bags, but you can tie yourself to one of the poles, for example, and to steady yourself. Alternatively, you could tie your carrier bags with the shoelace to your arms and use your hands then to grip onto the to grip onto the poles. You know, it gets quite packed in there. What's another thing that happens on the tube? It gets incredibly full. And
that's
a shoelace.
Time.
Is it?
Yeah. It's actually a bit over, but I was enjoying it. But I give you both 5 extra seconds.
You give us a splash extra, didn't you?
Interesting there. Good points raised by you all. I found that both of you, very well done. You both had 3 major points there, I would say.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Say, what do I think? Who has proved? Who was argued by? I think I'm probably going to give it to Ryan on this occasion. I think he's done better with the thoughts on using it for the map. I very much enjoyed that. That was very impressive. Matthew, very well done on the Velcro child suit. Also very useful. But I feel like you were only using the Velcro sticky attribute there. Maybe it could have been used for some other things. I'm not quite sure what. But...
In fairness, what other attribute does Velcro have?
Well, that's not for me to decide, Ryan. You know, sure, you've really got to push the boundaries of Velcro.
Could be decorative, I suppose, yeah.
There you go. You know, Ryan, maybe you should have done bloody Velcro.
Yeah, actually, I might have done a better job.
Anyway, I can see that Matt is absolutely fuming. But Ryan, well done. You take it this week.
Oh, this has got to be a wind up.
Yeah, thanks. Took the words right out of my mouth there, Gary.
So, good.
There we
well
go.
Done, well done, Ryan. No, you know, well done.
I'm happy to have the points. Do you know what? This series, I feel like my points are
totting up.
You know, I did so badly last series, but I feel like friend of the family, friend of the show, Pop Pots, and scorekeeper Howard Collins keep track of my points. Is struggling to keep track. I've got that many.
Yeah. I'm worried.
All of those titles, Howard has been in touch regarding, along with several people, about the mini eggs.
Oh, right. Yes, the mini eggs, of course.
And he was saying, you know, he had no idea I felt this way. And
about mini eggs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Crying toddler, is it? Do you need to go? Are you okay?
No, the toddler's heard what John's been saying about mini eggs.
Of course,
she's never even had bloody chocolate.
Just upset. No, she knows, though. She's an intelligent young lady.
But yeah, I don't want to name names, but there's been several people getting in touch saying, I thought I knew who you were. You've changed. How dare you? How dare you? You're a monster. But I mean, Howard did a really reasonable response and said, I really like them because X, but you know, that's fine for you not to like them. Whereas most people just flying off the handle at me.
I've even had people get in touch with me about this, you know, building up the courage to essentially defriend you, I suppose. IRL. and online. But I said to you a couple of weeks ago, if you don't know what we're talking about, referring to, we were talking, it was an Easter special, and we were talking about mini eggs and cream eggs. And John made some rather unsavoury, pardon the pun, comments about mini eggs. I told him at the time, this may have an effect. There's a lot of people listening.
Repercussions. And
it did. Repercussion. Thank you, Ryan.
Well, I'm going to be on the right side of history on this one. So,
and you're doubling down. You're doubling down. That's what I've,
I'm trebling down.
I've got respect for that.
He's troubling down. Nice.
Troubling down. I like it. All right. Well, what do you think, lads? Should we spin the wheel?
I thought of a word. Yeah, we should. I thought of another word, a new word yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can try and fit it into the podcast at some point. Similar to troubling down.
I meant trebling down.
But no, but it's nice though.
I like troubling down.
I like I'm doubling down on troubling down.
Oh yeah,
because it's going to cause more trouble. I like it. It's when tripling down. It's when tripling down is going to cause trouble. It becomes troubling down.
Nice, nice, tasty, tasty.
But my one was morkward. When it becomes something becomes more, even more awkward. It's going it's got even more awkward. You would say.
Oh, I like that.
And I thought, just roll that in my mouth last night. And I thought, I'm having that. I'm going to use that again in public. And I'm going to bring that to the world. Okay, so irrelevant to right now, but just...
No, I really enjoyed that as it happens, Ryan. So,
yeah, I thought people would like to know while I remembered it. Okay, so
listen, if you've invented a new word, do send us an ice cold letter or postcard, it's 2020, or Insta, Facebook, and of course, text.
Of course. Now, let's spin the wheel, shall we? Ooh, and it's just by the quote, never give up because great things take time. Isn't that nice?
That's very true. Never and very fitting
ever
as well.
Give up.
Very fitting for the American Idiots.
But this is the American
feature.
Idiots.
You know, don't give up on it. Don't stop getting in touch with these guys.
No.
Run with it.
Yeah.
Because great things take time and listeners have took time and are hopefully enjoying our friends across the sea.
Yeah, it's the feature that splits people. It's Marmite, but I think those people who were on the side of I don't know about those American characters. Mm. Don't know about those Americans. I don't know what I think of them. I feel like they're coming round to the idea of the Americans because they've taken their time and given them a chance.
Good. Yeah,
we've never sent a Marmite, have we?
We haven't.
Marmite's a good idea, actually.
Oh, my God.
We should send them Marmite.
I can't believe it. Have you sent them anything recently, Ryan?
Well, do you know what? I mean, funny that we've been talking about mini eggs, because I thought, wouldn't it be fantastic to find out, almost to put this whole thing to rest, find out what the Americans, who are getting, they're coming to them completely without any baggage.
Yeah.
You know, completely, they don't have many eggs over there. They're coming at them completely fresh. Fresh eyes, fresh mouths, fresh noses, and fresh ears.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget the ears.
And see what they think of mini eggs. So I sent them mini eggs, and they've sent me a recording of those of them themselves.
That's superb.
Mini eggs. So I can play that now if you like.
Yes, please, Ryan. That'd be perfect.
Okay. Need a wee. 2 secs.
Well, sorry, I'll just play it and... it's pre-recorded, isn't it? Hello and welcome back. I'm Maddie.
I'm Johnny.
And hey, I'm Rainy.
And today our crazy British friends from across the oceans have sent us... I mean, this is kind of weird, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we get...
Eggs in this country.
Sure. Boiled eggs. We tried Scotch eggs not so long back. Now they've sent us something called mini eggs.
Miney eggs or mini? Miney eggs.
I think it's miney. Miney eggs.
Sure.
Manai eggs. Manai eggs?
Small egg.
They're tiny little eggs.
Sure, sure.
In a bag.
Bag, hard boiled.
Yeah,
John, what is this crazy British tradition with tiny little eggs?
I think it's actually quail eggs, you know, but maybe even smaller. I know on the show Those crazy British guys were talking about woodpecker eggs.
Sure.
So maybe it's those. They're so colorful as well, right?
Speckled. What I am worried about is, are these eggs live, as in,
sure,
are they going to hatch any second now? Are they hard boiled? I mean...
Yeah, do we need to fry these up? Do we need to crack these into a pan? Do we need to make an omelet out of these? Do we need to scramble?
My understanding,
you know? Do we need them raw?
My understanding is that the eggs have actually been filled with chocolate. So what they've done is,
while
there was a live creature in there, they've actually filled that with chocolate. So you've got kind of a, I believe this is what I imagine is happening in here. There's a kind of chocolatey, yolky nightmare in
here. So inside, like, it's a chocolate mixed with what was the fetus of a small, very small bird.
I don't know about the sound of this, guys. It sounds a little sciencey, like something from Jurassic Park.
I'm just speculating, you know?
They're very small. Do we have to crack them open then? Do we have to kind of crack into them?
I'm going to open the bag. I'm not actually in the bag yet. I'm going to put a little in my hand and see what the situation is.
They're
very colorful.
Yeah. I'm just going to try and crack one here.
Oh, okay,
It doesn't really want to crack.
It doesn't crack.
How are you supposed to get into the chocolate then, in this case?
Well, the shell is cracking a little. I just want to... I'm just putting my tongue on the shell.
Oh, I didn't... You don't eat the shell.
Well, that's why sweet, Ryan. Oh, sweet shell here.
Really?
Mmm.
Perhaps they've kind of... petrified it in a sugar syrup, you know, kind of.
I am petrified by this.
Or maybe they've fed the tiny little bird.
Oh my god!
Sugar cubes.
Oh my god, that's what it is.
For all its life.
Oh my god, that is.
And
so
it lays
amazing.
Sweet little eggs.
It's a tiny little woodpecker that's lived on only sugar, and it's laid an egg and the egg is sugar flavored, and then they fill the egg with chocolate. Yeah.
It's lucky these woodpeckers don't have human teeth. With all that sugar. Okay. I'm just going to throw it right in here.
You're putting the shell. Oh, be careful, Maddie.
No, I'm eating a shell, and the shell is crunchy. It's hard.
It's a shell. Crunchy.
It's a shell.
Oh, my God. I cut my gum. Oh, that candy.
But it has... a lovely rich chocolate inside, Ryan.
I'm okay. You've put yours in the mouth. You've chewed up the shell of an egg. You're like some kind of circus freak right now. You're like these guys who eat glass. You're like these guys who put a nail up their schnoz. You're like these guys who walk on fire. You're eating an eggshell. That's weird.
Ryan, I can't agree with you more. It is like eating a piece of glass.
This
is cutting
texture.
My mouth.
I don't know what to do with this. It tastes, I'm licking it. It tastes sweet. Are you telling me I put this in my mouth and I'm going to chew it and it's going to be okay?
Take the leap of faith, Rainy, and get it in your mouth.
Okay. Okay, well, here goes nothing.
Here goes.
Pop it in your gob, as they say.
Okay, it's in my mouth. It's hard. It's hard.
It's hard. It is hard. It feels hard on the tongue, but I swear to God, Ryan, as soon as you start heating that egg up.
You think I should chew into it? Do you think I should bite into
you
it?
You should bite down. That's it.
Oh, the bitch has got egg in my mouth. Oh, I think my tongue's bleeding. Mm. Oh, my God. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
What do you think, Ryanny?
I got the chocolate. The chocolate's delicious.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
But it's covered in shards of eggshell.
My God.
Eggshell's sweet. I'll give it that.
Maybe. Maybe we need to de-shell these things before putting them in the gob.
I think we have to.
But they're covered in sugar. Surely that's Dillibrook.
Guys, I'm gonna blow your mind here because I'm gonna say that I actually really enjoy the crunchy, crispy, hard texture of these little mini eggs. I've had a great time.
Wow.
And I, for one, I'm gonna go to the pet shop tomorrow and I'm gonna get myself a sugar cube eating tiny bird. Wow. And I'm gonna have these tiny little eggs for breakfast every goddamn morning.
What kind of score are you going to give it, Maddie?
You know what? I'm going to give these a mini eags an 8 out of 10.
Whoa.
Whoa. Wow. Well, I mean, it scared me.
Uh-huh.
I found it sharp.
Yeah.
I think my mouth is bleeding.
Right.
Yeah. But the chocolate was delicious, so I'm going to give it an 8.5 and a half.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Johnny?
I'm going to have to go see my orthodontist after this, because my mouth is in pieces.
Does he own Sweet Birds?
No, but...
Does he own Candy Crows?
I'm going to have to say, I
has
was
he got
just,
a couple of sugared starlings up in there?
I found the chocolate fine, but what am I doing getting into that? I'm busting my teeth open here. I can't have that, not with my brittle mouth. I'm giving it. I think that even if you had a perfectly good working mouth, you would find that this was devastating to eat. And I'm giving it 0.5 because it's chocolate.
Oh, so wow. That is the lowest of the low I've ever heard.
You really don't like mini eggs, right, Johnny?
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much to our British friends, and thank you for your tiny little eggs. And that is a ta-ra for me, Maddie.
Ta-ra for me, Rainy.
See you from Johnny.
Toodle pips.
Toodle pip.
Well, the verdicts are in there.
Speaks the truth.
Mm.
That Johnny, he knows what he's on about.
Not conclusive, though, is it? It's Maddie and Ryan, he seemed to quite like them. Although Ryan, he wasn't sure. He did think the egg shell was sharp.
Yeah.
But Johnny really didn't like them. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, but that Ryan, he sounds like he's a few fucking eggs short of a nest, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, actually.
Poor lad, poor lad. Well, there you go. Kind of like Ryan says there, inconclusive, you know, no solid evidence. And I was really hoping for some solid evidence to come out of that.
Yeah. I was hoping either tens across the board or zeros across the board. That would have been pretty solid evidence. But no, it was an average of around 8 plus 8 plus 0.5 plus 0.5. So 16 between divided 17 by, divided by 3.
3.
Which is, of course, 17 divided by 3 is...
Well, it's...
Just over... Just under 6.
5 point something.
Bits.
At 10.
Basically,
average,
almost in the middle.
Almost
average.
In the middle, basically. So
we might as well have done it ourselves.
You could say it's marginally above average, but actually it's so marginal. It's basically so inconclusive. I don't know what to suggest now.
I don't know what the best word to do is.
We'd have to get Fred Truman trying them or something. I don't know.
So I feel like there's a court case coming with mini eggs involved. Yeah. I don't know what yet, though.
Yeah, don't know what yet.
Don't know how I can take someone to court for that, but...
for not liking something.
Who knows? Anything can happen on this show. So do, you know, hold your breath, maybe. Maybe hold your breath.
No.
But for now...
Yeah.
Ryan Howes, talk to me.
Okay. I'll give the wheel a spin, shall I?
We can spin the wheel. Okay,
I think there's time. I think we've got time.
Right, brilliant.
Not bring coal. And on the wheel, of course, it says what you do today can improve all your tomorrows. I think these are nice. I think these are nice little tidbits.
And do you know what, Ryan?
Yeah.
That is, like you said, that all these quotes fitted to the particular features themselves. And just read that one more time. Bearing in mind, we're talking about not bring coal here.
Yeah.
Also known as not bring coal. Ryan, read that quote one more time.
Well, it says, what you do today can improve all your tomorrows. And it's a great point because we're going to give you these specific jokes and icebreakers for specific situations today. And then all of your tomorrows, well, one of those tomorrows, you might find yourself in this specific situation.
Yeah,
but you can use the thing you've learned today.
Perfect.
I didn't even do that intentionally, but I think it just that's the universe, isn't it?
Yes, speaking.
The universe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
something to do with the universe.
Now, the only thing is now... is we need to provide, and as we always say, you might not even be signed up to our Patreon. You might not be donating money on a monthly basis.
No.
And you're still receiving 100% free advice in specific situations. And here is the jingle.
When you need a joke for a specific situation, but you can't think of one, and it's getting frustrating, don't you worry. We got a feature for that. Great feature. When you wanna break the ice in that certain situation, listen to our feature, it's a education. Not bring coal, that's the name of our feature. Great feature. Great feature.
Feature.
Not bring coal is the name of our feature. Great feature.
And it is a great feature, isn't it?
Now, Ryan.
Yeah.
Have you got one off top of your head to start the ball rolling with this?
I do, actually, yeah. I do.
Brilliant.
And it's quite specific. It's not that specific. Now, you'll see why, but it's quite specific. Okay. So, imagine you're in this situation. You're dating one of the Spice Girls. Okay. Let's say for this example. Yeah. Let's say for this example, it's Sporty Spice. But it could be any Spice Girl. And this is why it's not that specific, you see? Because it could be any of the Spice Girls that you're dating. But it's still, I think, specific enough for an app ring call.
Yeah.
I think any Spice Girl would be specific enough when it's
You're actually given
five for the price of one, essentially.
Exactly. There's five situations you could find yourself here. You could be with Sporty, you could be with a baby, you could be with Ginger, you could be with Scary, you could be with Posh.
Posh.
I say.
Very posh. Very posh.
And anyway. You're dating this Spice Girl and you go on a day trip to the zoo with a few of your mates. It's all going well until you get to a bit where you can put on all the beekeeping gear and go and look at a beehive up close. And you can even adopt your own bee.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
The trouble is, you're scared of bees, quite reasonably, I think.
Understandably, yeah.
But Sporty Spice really wants to do it. Luckily, the mates you are with are also quite up for it and not scared. But it's a bit awkward because you look a bit like a coward, you know, and it's a bit like, oh. So you might want to break the ice, but you might want to break the tension of the situation, you know, and just lighten the mood with a bit of a joke. And you could say to Sporty Spice, if you want to be my lover, you've got to go with my friends. And I think in that specific situation,
it's great. And like Ryan says, and this is the thing, not only is he giving you this for free, he's giving you five.
Yeah.
Five big ones.
Was there five Spice Girls?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
I'm thinking of the Beatles, four, right? Five. He's giving you five. So if you just happen to go on a date with just any one of them, it works.
Exactly. So I hope that's helped.
How much do you want for that excellent advice, Ryan?
Absolutely nothing. It's a gift from me to you, to the listener. Absolutely
zero
free.
Cost.
Zero cost to you, the listener.
Unbelievable.
If you feel like it was worth anything, you can always give us a donation, of course, via Patreon or PayPal, but, you know.
Of course, you can give us a one-off donation now, can't you?
Well, I've also got one that I just thought of.
Yeah.
Which I haven't written it down because it just came to my head. If you ever find yourself between the cities of Cheltenham and Banbury, I don't know if Banbury is a city or a town, there's a small village called Dawn, and you say to your partner, your loved one, hey, I think we should check out the local brewery, see what's happening down. So you head on down to one. You read it in one of those leaflets, you know, oh, lovely brewery, come down, have a look, sample the goods. And you get down there and you get to the brewery and you see this deserted. It's a ghost town. It's boarded up windows. There's one guy there and you say, what's happened? And he's very distraught and he sort of says, it's gone. It's all gone. We've been, you know, we've broken down. The company's gone bust. We've got nothing. And you're like, oh, God.
Awkward.
And yeah, really awkward. And you're thinking, what am I going to say here? It's getting more awkward. You could say, this place is dead as a dawn ale.
Yes, you could. Dawn ale. Brilliant.
Dawn ale.
Dawn ale, it's a dawn ale, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going, no one's there, yeah.
Now, in that specific situation,
you're bringing a smile to that guy, and he might end up going to the pub with you for one of those ales that you missed out on.
It's probably a Wetherspoons.
Positive things come out of that. And how much do you want for that, Jonna?
Nothing, that's free.
That's just free as well. That's nothing. Well, I'll leave you with this one to end on. If you do find yourself on a beach in Oregon, America, in the November of 1970, maybe, and you're there with all your workmates and you're the mayor of the town, and obviously a lot of pressure on you because there's a whale's washed up onto the shore. You need to get rid of this damn thing. And it's a big one, and it stinks. And everyone's trying to suggest stuff, and you know you're on a tight time limit. And they're saying, basically, there's lots of pressure for people trying to do the right thing, which was maybe drag the sperm whale out to sea and then blow it up. And you know you've got no time, and you could say, to defuse the situation, get your way, you say, if we do that, whale be here all night. And everyone laughs and goes, oh, God, yeah, maybe he's got a point.
Because the whale will be there all night.
Exactly. Yeah. And he says, oh, forget it. Let's just stick dynamite and blow it to bits. And you get your way. and happily ever after. So, yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
In that specific situation, I think that would be an ideal thing to say.
Yes. And it's not just America that gets washed up whales.
No, it's... that whole dynamite thing does seem like a very American attitude to it, though, doesn't it?
They love dynamite.
I can't imagine if a whale washed up in Scarborough, the mayor of Scarborough would immediately think dynamite. I just don't see it.
No, it's like a cartoon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, the Americans, it's like a cartoon.
Like someone from Look North there reporting on.
Yeah. We're putting dynamite down here in Scarborough. Don't know where we've got dynamite from, but they said it just in case this was to happen. You can see why they'd forgotten how to deal with the situation.
How'd you do this again?
Like, this happened in 1932. What did they do then?
Yeah. Couldn't they look it up, though? Did they really have to just remember? Going, I think they... Oh, no, it wasn't.
It's a small time.
No, it wasn't dynamite. It wasn't dynamite after all. They just pulled it back out to sea and let it sink.
Yeah.
Easy to mix the two up.
I feel like in America, though, it's any particular problem. Like, oh, traffic's pretty bad. There appears to be a lorry blocking the road.
Get the C4.
Blow it up. The dynamite. Dynamite. Blow it to high heaven. That's going to be the answer to that. But there you go. Free as the day you were born. Solid advice. And we hope, and if you do use these in your life, do let us know. And if you do have some not bring calls, we're not here to hog the attention, so please do get in touch. Brian,
absolutely. Now, shall we quickly just sing the Patreon song?
I'd love to, actually.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're back to doing it live again. Last time I did it with my American twang, but I'm thinking I just want to go traditional this time. I want to go classic.
Yeah, it was beautiful, to be fair, Ryan.
Thanks.
But I respect your decision.
Yeah. The royalties from that song that I wrote about Easter have been rolling in. So,
Speaking of rolling, do we have any tongue rollers, tongue twisters to warm up the teeth, throat, and neck?
I have got to warm up the ears, lips, nostrils, etc.
Snout.
The general snout area, the grab tunnel. Who wants to go first?
Me.
I let Ryan go first.
A bit chocolate on the mind still from Easter. I'll give you this one. Ryan, here we go. Gabby Roslin gobbles a dozen chocolate hobnobs.
Gabby Roslin gobbles a dozen chocolate hobnobs.
Oh, very nice. And Ryan?
Gabby Roslin gobbles a dozen chocolate hobnobs.
I meant, and Matt?
Gabby Roslin gobbles 100 chocolate hobnobs.
It was a dozen.
No. I looked it up.
Oh, right. What's the story?
That was a headline.
Oh, God.
And a one, and a two, and a
two, three,
four.
Here we go, lads.
Here we go.
Better than ever.
Here we go.
Podcast looping nuts are we, making podcasts all for free. But if you'd like to help us too, then this is what you ought to do.
On the website Patreon, followed by a.com/
is the next bit.
They seldom differ,
and that's it.
podcast loopy nuts are we, making podcasts all for free. But if you'd like to help us too, then this is what you ought to do.
Sign up to us and then
pay us £1, £3, £5 or £10.
Bonus podcasts worth the fuss,
appreciated by us.
And if you can't commit, don't worry about that, don't mention it,
because you can pay us just one time
using PayPal,
and that's fine.
Well, there we go.
Well, yeah.
And it's true. It's true. If you'd like to get involved, there's hours and hours of extra bonus content out there now.
Hours? Tens?
I'm glad you mentioned it. I was thinking that the other day, because recently we've been saying, oh, you can sign up, you get access to all our bonus material. And it's true, but, and you do say this quite often, Ryan, I feel like it's not been said for a while, so I'm glad you've said it today. It is true. I mean, we have literally hours now, isn't it, of extra content.
Yeah, because each one's about 25 minutes to half an hour.
Yeah.
Each bonus, like,
and those bonus episodes are full of features. They're singing in there. You know, there's general chat. Sometimes we don't even know where it's going to go most of the time. And it's
there's often talk about bringing stuff over from the bonus.
Yeah,
Which
we might just keep it there for the bonus people.
For the real.
And because here's the thing as well. There's some podcasts out there, I've noticed, each episode of their standard podcast is about half an hour long. We're doing a whole bonus podcast for you guys.
Yeah.
They're about half an hour long a piece. And there's about 18 episodes now. So what's that? What's 18 times half an hour? Well, we're talking 9 hours. So it's probably a bit less than that, but at least 8 hours or so of content.
You're not just buying into the future, you're buying the past.
Yeah, so...
have you just read that off the wheel?
And what a wonderful way to sum it up and end this show. And I hope there's time for Who's at the Door?
Who's that? Who's that? Who's at the door? Who's that? Who's that? Who's at the door? Who's that? Who's that? Who's at the door? It's a mystery.
It is a mystery until one of you give me the correct answer and let the person in. So, who's at the door this week? Thank you very much. Can you just do that again, please, buddy? Okay, who's at the door this week? Good old-fashioned Ryan House.
Is it Alpha, the little robot from Power Rangers?
Oh, that's so good. Guess that's a good guess, Sir John Patrick. Who is at the door this week, mate? Or WIAD.
Come on.
Just abbreviate who's at the door for me at some point and let me know. Who's at the door, John?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was the powerful knock, I suppose. It's incorrect, I'm afraid. It was actually Zamo from Grange Hill. Who was at the door? Zamo, who was remembered for his...
There you go. I was thinking it was...
Oh, that's a good one.
I was thinking it was...
Can see where all our brains are at the minute. Different places.
Well, maybe next week, lads, we'll have somebody in. I don't think we've had anyone in since... God, I don't remember. Something Ryan may remember.
Wasn't it one of the Frozen characters or something?
Roger Rabbit came in.
Not the last time. Last time was Elsa.
Elsa?
Oh, no, what was it?
Anna.
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 Yes, it was Anna.
Anna.
Well, it's at that time of the show, I'm afraid, listener, that we have to wrap things up. I want to say a big thank you to everybody at home for listening to today's episode. Also, a huge thanks to good old-fashioned Ryan Howes.
Thank you.
And, of course, Sir John Patrick.
Thank you, everybody.
And thank you, of course, maskinton.com, the brand.
Thank you so much. And I will leave you with this. You can wear clogs, high heels, slippers or sneakers, whatever's comfortable to climb the dizzying heights of entertainment with the lads of terrible features. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
They're getting better.
That was a good one.
Better.
Yeah, that is good.
You have been listening to Seldom Differs Terrible Features with Matt Skillington, John Patrick and Ryan Howes. Intro and outro theme by Old. You can follow them at Old Music on Instagram. If you want to follow the boys at Seldom Differ, you can get them at Twitter, at Seldom Differ, Instagram, Seldom_Differ, and Facebook, at Seldom Differ Comedy. You should also subscribe at Seldom Differ on YouTube. Thank you to Luke Collins at Appley Bridge Studio for his additional audio work. And thank you to all you Patreon subscribers. If you're interested in supporting us, then go to patreon.com/seldomdiffer. And there you can donate as little as £1 a month, that's 25p an episode, that's not too bad, to £3 plus a month, which will allow you access to all of our bonus material. Please do give us a 5-star rating and a review. We'd be unbelievably grateful. Thanks for listening.